We can. I'm going to read you from John chapter 10, verse 1. I'm going to just read. We're going to go over some of the same subject we've been doing. So he says there, he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber." And he's addressing the Pharisees. "But he that entereth in by the door to the shepherd of the sheep, to him the porter openeth, to and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things that were which he spoke unto them. And then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them." I want to give you a thought this morning where Jesus Christ's sheep did not hear them. And that's important when it comes to the Bible, when it comes to our Christian life. And practically speaking, you should really devotionally keep that in mind, that here Jesus said the sheep did not hear them. So I want to maybe elaborate more on that idea about the sheep. Now, when next week we're going to do John the Baptist, so when John was here, he was known as a voice. But when it actually came to the Son of God, when it actually came to Jesus himself, Jesus was his own message. In other words, he was the Son of God. He was his own message. He wasn't just a voice. So obviously he is the one speaking here. If you go with me for a moment and follow this lesson through, if you come over to John chapter 6, verse 33 with me for a moment, I want you to think about that Jesus Christ was his own message. He was God manifest in the flesh. He wasn't just a voice crying in the wilderness. He was that voice. So in John chapter 6 and verse 63, in John 6, 63, notice what the Lord said about his words. He said to them, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing, but the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." And of course, so if you were to, when you hear him, we as his sheep, we're believers, we know his voice. Therefore, we also should take on mind that there are others we won't hear. That's what he's saying. We won't hear them. So there's a thing about the Lord here where he's actually addressing the idea about hearing, because if you went back to verse 60 of that same chapter, notice that the Bible says, "Many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, and said, This is a hard saying, who can hear it?" So he was dealing there with the bread from heaven, and there they actually say, well, who can hear it? Now, there is a difference then that you and I have, that we can hear him, because you and I have the Spirit of God. Because we have the Spirit of God, we should be able to discern. When they did hear the Lord, in Luke chapter 4, verse 32, they said he spoke as of with power. You know, they said in Mark chapter 1, verse 22, he spoke with an authority not like the scribes. So when they heard him speak, it was one of power. There was, when they compared him, he had an authority not as the scribes did. And then in Luke chapter 2, verse 42, when he's a young lad up at the temple, they were astonished at his understanding. So when you think of the Good Shepherd, when you think of him, the Lord was his own message. It wasn't just his voice, it was everything about the Lord in a way. And of course, we have to realize then that we need, if we are his sheep, we hear his voice and we do know that voice and we do follow them. Now come over to First Corinthians chapter 9. We'll go back over to this passage again, First Corinthians 9. Now these lessons are good for us to keep in mind, because a lot of what the problem is what we hear, what we listen to. Maybe in this case, I like how the Lord says, "My sheep did not hear them," and I'll just say amen to that for the moment. But here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9, when Paul is speaking to us, he says, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 9, he says, "But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us." Now the word is us, the believer, by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now, obviously we understand the voice of God because we understand what the Bible teaches. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. And so here, you and I have the Spirit of God. Now, practically speaking, we then can understand what the Bible teaches, or what, say, if you had a subject, say, for a matter, any kind of subject, and we look at what the Bible teaches on that subject. So we also look at the Bible in a way that how it interprets the subject, and so therefore that helps us to understand then how to walk as believers. Now, I'll give you an example where the world or an unbeliever might look at us rather strangely, because in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 7, the Bible says we are to walk by faith, not by sight. So therefore, there is a difference then to your understanding, my understanding as believers, because we have the Spirit of God, we can hear him, we can know his voice, and therefore we are instructed from the Bible then to walk by faith, not by sight. So that teaching is opposite to what we should listen to. So say, for example, what I mean by that is that we have to be careful of reasoning by sight. So for example, we are selling a house at the moment. It's very easy to look at it by sight and we reason, oh, well, this person has money, or these people are doing this. No, we are reasoning by sight. No, we're selling the house by faith. Can you see what I mean? Because that's the difference. That's the difference between us hearing his voice and then we won't hear them, because you and I are instructed to walk by faith, not by sight. So the struggle then is to slip back to the human spirit, the spirit of man, which knoweth the things of man. Therefore, we tend to follow that spirit rather than just walking by faith. But however, I will say this, as Bob Jones Sr. said, a man is only as wise as the information he has, amen? And I do agree with that. But if you think about this, then that you and I then to walk by faith, not by sight. That means now that I'm one of his sheep and I'm not going to hear them. I'm not going to hear the person that says you need to walk by sight, because I had that problem. You have that problem. We try to figure things out ourselves. Can I get an amen out of that? Mm-hmm. Where he says in Proverbs, lean not on your own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him. So the Christian life then is a walk of faith. It's not leaning on our own understanding. And the more we start to realize then that we can make a discernment of who we hear and or who we listen to or who we won't listen to. Now come over to John chapter 11. John chapter 11, verse 9. And just stay with me, guys. This will all tie together when I get there. In John chapter 11, verse 9, Jesus said, are there not 12 hours in the day? So John chapter 11, I'll just read that to you, and verse 9. Jesus answered, he said, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. And amen, we know where we're going. But if a man in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he said unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth. So the reference here is dealing with night and daytime. Jesus said in John 9:4, he said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. If you remember, he said, I am the light of the world. You and I at the moment are in nighttime, and therefore he is not here anymore. Jesus has left us, gone back to heaven, and now we are in darkness. We're in nighttime, and so therefore it's important then to realize then that it's important to who I hear or who I listen to. So in 2 Peter 1:19, when it comes to the word of God, he said, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, Peter speaking, after he mentioned that they had been on the Mount Transfiguration, they had heard that voice, and Jesus appeared to them as the second coming. He says, even though we have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts. The Bible teaches us that we are in nighttime, and the only light that we have in this dark place is the Word of God, the Bible. That's the light that we have until the day dawn and the day arise in our hearts. In other words, whether when we get raptured out of here or when we die and go to heaven, we then come out of this darkness into his light. But in the meantime, that we should take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. And the only way you can do that is that the Bible then is our final authority. Now, many people will say to you that they believe the King James Bible is their authority, and they tend to believe what they want about it. They even tend to make use of it. They'll say that it's their final authority, but truly it depends if you make it your final authority. So I was saying to Jason the other day, you hear people talk about Christians believing in creation, and then they go into looking at sight or looking at different things to prove creation. I don't need any proof. The Bible says that God created the heavens and the earth, amen. That's the only light I need, because the Word of God is the authority, amen. So if I make the Bible the authority, then that God created the heaven and the earth, then God created the heaven and the earth, amen. I don't need any other thing than what exactly the Word of God says, because I'm believing it by faith. I'm making it that dominant authority, or that authority in our life. So it's important then that as believers, that we, as he said in Luke 35, take heed therefore that the light which is in thee be not darkness. What Jesus is talking about to the Pharisees, he said to the Pharisees, listen, take heed that the light which is in thee be not darkness, because they compared everything by what they saw. Like say for instance, they looked on the outside of the cup, didn't they? They made a standard of what they saw. So they were living more by sight and appearance. And then Jesus said, be careful of that light that is in you. Be careful it's not darkness, which it was. And it was referring to the Pharisees judging everyone. You gotta be really careful of judging people in a way, because most people who do judge people set up a standard, and normally that standard is not Jesus Christ, it's just a standard that we sometimes set up. And of course, therefore, we have this darkness. If you remember the story about the fig tree, you remember Jesus was on the road to Bethany. He's heading up 6 days before the crucifixion, and they come across a fig tree. The fig tree is a picture of Israel. I'll read you the verse in Mark chapter 11, verse 13 and 14. And seeing a fig tree, this is the Lord, he said, afar off having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereupon. So from a distance, this fig tree just looked something. It had the leaves on it. Everything about its appearance was good. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit thereof hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. And Jesus was, when he came to the lost house of Israel, the fig tree is a picture of faith, and they didn't have faith in God. So when he came to get that fruit, even though it looked good, if you had seen the temple, Solomon's temple, if you'd seen that thing, there's probably never been a building like it ever built. It probably was the most perfect and beautiful thing you could ever see, amen. And yet God had given the Pharisees in charge of it, and then they looked at everything on the outward appearance. And then when Jesus uses the fig tree here as a picture of where they should have had faith in God, and they should have had faith in God from going back to the Old Testament and reading the Old Testament, but the Pharisees had turned it into an appearance. And then if you remember, when Jesus returned back from Jerusalem to Bethany, it says in verse 20, and in the morning as they passed by, they, the disciples with him, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And of course, when you think about that, it was dried up because it didn't bring forth any fruit. You know, the trouble with Israel at the moment is that, and I was thinking about this the other day, and I want to talk about Melchizedek being our high priest. There's an order of a high priest in your Bible. God set that up from Genesis. You realize when they rejected Jesus Christ as their Savior, that they don't have a high priest now, because Jesus is now in heaven, who took on the order of Melchizedek, a high priest. You and I as believers need a true religion, and that religion was Jesus Christ, and he died for us, and he offered himself up once, not like as it was with the high priests in the Old Testament, where they had to go in once a year to make atonement for the sins of the people. But our high priest is in heaven, and the Bible says he ever liveth to make intercession for us. That means that Jesus is praying for you and I now. He ever liveth to make intercession. He makes intercession for us right now, this very minute. I was thinking the other day, sometimes I just need that high priest. I just need that person who can make intercession for us. Amen. Just when things seem hard, when things are just going wrong, Lord, that's when I need him. I need that intercession. And yet here, when you look at this idea then, that the idea is that it looked good from the outside. Most Christian religion today has an appearance about it, but it doesn't have Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ came unto them in the fourth watch of the night. Now go to Matthew chapter 11. Now Matthew 11 is a picture of his return, obviously. It's the fourth watch in the night. I know that Brett said this about it gets darker before dawn, amen. So here, the fourth watch of the night, it's dark. You and I are in nighttime now. And here we have the picture of Jesus now is going to walk on the water. I think it's in chapter 22. I think it's verse 22. I'll run through it quickly. I know you're all familiar with it. He says, let's just see where it is. Oh, it's 14. Sorry, it's Matthew 14, isn't it? 22, sorry. Matthew 20, 14, verse 22. Yeah, so, and straight away Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship, verse 23. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. That's verse 24. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And here we have the deity of God. Here he is walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But straight away Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." You know, there's something about the Lord's voice in nighttime. There's something about his voice when the storms are raging, when your faith is failing, when you're wondering, "I just don't have the strength to live for you, Lord." Isn't there something about that voice? And here in that nighttime, in that darkest part of the night, Jesus walks unto them, comes unto them. He's been praying for them. He sees that they're in trouble, amen, and he comes unto them walking on the ocean. And isn't that what you and I need? We need God. I do not need a Christian religion. I need him. And I need him to come unto me that I can hear him. And isn't that wonderful when he says, "Be not afraid." And of course, that is the strength of the believer when we hear him. So therefore, there's a difference when I hear him and I won't hear others. And it's important to do that. I think it's really important to keep that little thought in mind. So the prophecy in your scriptures, in the Word of God, is that prophecy in the Old Testament was by peaks. They could see the mountaintops, they couldn't see the valleys. You and I at the moment are in a valley. And I'm thinking about next, when we start our service next week, and just go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. Just go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. And I think this is what people need now. I think this is what's missing, really, in the Christian, in our lives, you could even say maybe in a lot of Christian lives. But in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, I'll just read it to you. He says, Paul speaking about these believers here, he says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when he received the word of God which he heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which is effectually worketh also in you that believe." I believe that when God's sheep hear his voice, they know, they receive it as the word of God. I think that's what Jesus is saying. He said, "My sheep will not hear them," because they won't hear them because it is not the word of God. Notice how they received Paul here, how they received what he said as the word of God. They didn't receive it as the word of men. And I think that's important, because that's really what I would like to see happen more in a church, where people come and they say, "No, hang on, we just didn't hear a man. We received it as the word of God." In Jeremiah 17, verse 5, the Bible says, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord." And you and I will definitely depart from the Lord when we trust in man, when we make flesh his arm. So in other words, a lot of times we listen to worldly wisdom, we listen to men, but none of them really come close to the fact that when you hear him and your strength is in the Lord, that you're not going to trust in man. So Jesus Christ's sheep did not hear them because they were the voice of men and not the voice of God. And I do pray and challenge you that that's a challenge. It's a thought when you think about that, that sometimes you can hear preachers, you can hear people, and you just know that that's the voice of men. It's, they are leaning on their own understanding. It's the spirit of man, it's not the spirit of God. And therefore, when we do come to the Bible, we should receive it as the word of God, not the word of men. If you ever notice that the attack on the Bible is always to try to bring the emphasis that man wrote the Bible. And of course, if you believe man wrote the Bible, then you're going to receive it as the spirit of man. But that's why he said prophecy not came in the old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So therefore, it was God who wrote the Bible, not man, even though he used 24 different authors to write it. And we have therefore the word of God, and it's, and therefore our faith then should be in what it says. I think more so then, it helps us discern to know his voice. And I think that's what the Lord is saying. He says, my sheep hear them not. Amen. And I'm going to close with that little thought. Now I'll just turn this thing off. Sorry, guys.